About a week or so ago, somebody in Maryland won that $731 million Powerball jackpot. And then I think a day or two later, somebody bought a winning ticket for Mega Millions at a Kroger in Nova, I think it was Michigan. And they claimed over, will claim over $1 billion. It made me think for a minute, what would you do if you had that winning ticket? I don't have it. What would you be like? What would it be like if suddenly nothing more you had to worry about? You didn't have to worry about money. You wouldn't have to worry about where you live. You wouldn't have to worry about anything. What would you be like? Would you be more kind and compassionate? Would your first thought be thinking of how you're going to help people? Or would your first thoughts be, I'm out of here? Or would your first thoughts even be, I'm going to get everybody who ever did me wrong? Today I want to talk about power. I don't want to talk about your power. I don't want to talk about the power of money. I want to talk about the power of God. I believe that nothing compares to what we can think about in the power of God. Our first reading, we heard God promises through Moses that he's going to send prophets to help them along the way. Think of an all-powerful God, a God of the universe. He doesn't lord over everybody. He doesn't decide, I'm going to enslave all you people. No, he sends single prophets out to teach people about his ways and hope that they'll listen. He does give a warning that people try to teach things that are not his ways, he's going to punish them. But he sends prophets. Our second reading would almost seem to be like he's admonishing people that are married, saying, if you're married, boy, it's hard to think about God because you can be anxious about other things. I know a lot of anxious unmarried people as well, so I'm not sure that applies for Paul. But he talks about the anxious about the things in the world. And as we think about the power of God, I want to talk about how the power of God weighs against the powers of the world. It may seem that it's not even until the gospel where we hear Jesus speak with authority and get rid of an unclean spirit that we can even hear about the power of God. But I believe that all three readings talk to us about the power of God. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And to start that, I want to quote the Baltimore Catechism. It's something that many of you may or know about. The Baltimore Catechism was the thing that they taught in school, you guys, from about the 1890s to the 1960s. And it was a book that taught us all about religion. And it did it by question and answer, which was something that St. Thomas Aquinas sort of did when he was explaining the faith. So they'd ask a question and then they'd answer that question. The one that everybody remembers by heart is question number 6. Why did God make you? The answer was, God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him. But that's not the one I want to talk about today. I want to talk about question number 15. Where is God? The answer, God is everywhere. Where is God? God is everywhere. What does that mean? God is everywhere. I want you to think about just that statement for a minute and how, if you believe that God is everywhere, in every place, at every time, what that means to your life. The power of God to be everywhere. And if you don't think about anything else I say today, I just want you to spend a little time thinking about that. I want you to think about how every circumstance in your life, God was there. He was there when you were in your mother's womb. God was there when you took your first step. God was there when you said your first word. God was there when you got your first job. God was there when you made your first kiss. God was there when you got married. God was there when you got divorced. God was there when you graduated college. God was there when you dropped out of school and didn't finish. God was there when you got your first job. God was there when you got fired from your first job. God was there when you spoke your last words to someone you loved who was dying. Your mother, your grandmother, your child, your spouse. God was there. And because of Jesus, we can even know that when we think we're alone dying, God is there to show us to our life after death. When we pray to God and our prayers are honest and true, no matter what we ask, He will answer them. He will forgive any sin. He will remove any temptation. He will remove and take away and drive out any demon that you have. How can we believe that in this world of chaos and sin? We don't have to walk far out this door to say, if God is everywhere, what the heck is going on? That's where Bishop Robert Barron helps us a little bit and brings us some hope and some peace. And he does it by talking about three things that I want to talk about. One is, he says that our earth and our world is sort of like an artist's workshop. And if you've ever been to somebody's workshop, most of the time there's stuff all over. You won't see too many finished products, too many masterpieces. You'll see a lot of unfinished things, a lot of parts, a lot of this and a lot of that. It looks like kind of a mess. The earth is God's workshop. So it kind of looks like a mess. But the master is at work. And the master is not done with his work. And in the end, we will all be a masterpiece. The second thing I want to talk about is the question I posed to you. What would your life be like if you had that winning ticket? How would you behave? What would you do differently? With an all-powerful God, we don't have a God that's vindictive or is mean. In fact, we have a God that's lenient. He's lenient to even the people mostly that don't even believe in him. We have a God that is kind and full of mercy, a God that is slow to anger. And think about a God like that in the life that we lead. Because finally, think about the life that we lead and knowing that God is everywhere in that life. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, God is there. I would think that it should bring us anger or even like being afraid, like, God, I don't want you to see everything in my life. I don't want you to be everywhere. And yet understanding that God intimately wants to be with us and is a God that is loving, a God that has counted the hairs on our head. Understanding that we have a God like that gives us peace and hope, not fear and anger. So whatever is happening in your life, it's happening in front of God. It's being carried out in front of God. God has chosen that route in His creation of us. So I want you to spend some time today imagining how God in everywhere makes you feel. Because if you really appreciate God everywhere, in everything that you do, it will change your life. It has to change your life. It has to change the way that you even interact with other people. But what it does do is when you realize that God is everywhere, everything you want to do will be to glorify God. Your words, your actions, your thoughts. So I ask you to think about God everywhere, and then think about how important it is to glorify God with everything that you do.